and I'm reading it and a certain section of it, and I'm just crying because I'm reminded I used to be like that. But I'm not like that anymore. Because sometimes we think we get so wise, we forget the simple things that is right in front of us. And I'll share that just before we do my communion. But right now, if that is you, if you need to rededicate your life, I invite you to come and stand right here. If you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, here's the other call. Listen to me. Please. This may be strange for some of you because you've probably never been in a service like this. Well, I grew up in the Pentecostal background, so I've been to services like this. This may be a little strange to you. But don't let the strangeness stop you from being delivered. Don't let the strangeness stop you from God touching your life. Some of you are clogged. You are clogged by many things. I don't know what it is. I'm just mentioning some stuff. You're clogged, and God wants to use you. I'm asking you to come. Don't sit down and let it pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. Don't take this as, well, if I come up, what would people think? Listen. I have times in my life that I'm clogged, and if God don't do an unclogging for me, I am useless.
This morning when Sally and I were preparing to have our breakfast, praying for breakfast, thanking God for breakfast. It was a deep hurt in my heart. I could barely pray. And it's coming back right now. What happened with you at 8 o'clock this morning? Search your heart.
You're carrying around pain. Yeah, you're carrying around pain in certain areas of your life. Here's the thing, you'll never be able to move forward until it's dealt with. I am praying that we would be a church that would be led by the Spirit of God. I've been praying that Ed would operate in his gift more and more. Folks, God unclogged me Friday at about probably 5:30, 6 o'clock. I'm at Anya's game, and the younger kids were playing first. Anya wasn't playing. So, and I turned to Jill and I said, if this is how these soccer games is going to go, I don't think I'm going to come to another one. Because it looked like they had no direction, just kicking the ball. But I understand they're young kids. So I opened up and I said, I got to finish this book. And I start reading the book. And as I start reading, I was trying for Jill not to notice. Tears is coming down my eyes. And I want you to understand this. Tears is flowing because 30 years ago, God taught me this lesson and I forgot. In everything, give thanks because it's God's will concerning you. And the guy is just telling his testimony. And he said he told how he got filled with the Holy Spirit, but then he get to the place he said he wanted more of God, and he's asking God, and he's seeking God, and he's wondering, he's saying to God, God, I need more of you. And God says to him, he says, are you thankful that Christ died for you? He said, yes. Are you joyous because Christ died for you? He said, yes. He said, do you celebrate because Christ died for you and you have eternal? Yes. And these are my words. I can't put it in his words. And he says, then why can't you die for me? In the sense of, why can't you thank me and praise me and have joy in everything? And I just start crying because it's true. We as a church are the most unhappy people I see. Because we do not know how to praise God and thank God and rejoice in God in whatever situation we are going through. Do you know God had to put, God put peace. I mean, I was going through something this last month. And God totally put peace in my heart. And I just, I'm praising him. God unclogged what was clogging up inside of me. And now I can hear from him better. We do not know how to thank God in whatever situation we're in. We don't. Why? Because we are not willing to die the way Christ died. And he said, God, I don't know how God was speaking to him, but he mentioned how God was saying to him, you need to be joyful and thankful and have rejoicing in everything, because nothing really that comes your way can compare to what Christ went through. And I'm telling you, I am just crying there. I am crying because I've gotten to the place where instead of praising God and thanking God within the dilemma I'm going through, I get to the place I complain and I look at self. I look how it's affecting me and not look at what God is trying to work out in my life. And I thank God that he took that clog out. I really do. I really do. I share this, this is the soft version. I share the hard version with the VN people yesterday. And I know today that there is folks right here this morning that needs the clog gone. I don't have to ask. I know that. God don't give us something and there's nobody here for it. He don't do that. So it's either God is speaking to me or you are willing to disobey God. And this is not about how I'm going to look. Sometimes we are so prideful that we wouldn't come down front to be freed from what we are going through. We are so prideful. What would people think? But let me tell you something. God took this gay man, me, a gay man from a third world country, and spoke to him audibly and brought him to America. Send him to school with no, he had no education. And here is where he stands today. I have no shame to stand up and proclaim what God has done, because I know what God has done for me, he can do for others. And if you don't allow God to do for you, how can you help him do for others? I'm giving you 1 minute, and then we'll move on. But it's going to be to your detriment if you don't obey God.
Come on, you know it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Where's the songs? Let's see. Gotta sing the song. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
It's a step-by-step transforming process.
Amen.
And Paul was writing them to take them a step further. And what God was doing in them. And he wrote them in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, in the following directives, I have no praise for you. In your meetings, I have old eyes, you have to forgive me. And I brought my glasses, but I'm not sure where I put them. But I can still read. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. He says that sarcastically. Do you catch the sarcasm there? Some of us are better than others, and so we have divisions because we have to stand out as I'm holier than you. He has a lot of sarcasm in 1 and 2 Corinthians. Holy sarcasm. So make sure your sarcasm is on the holy side. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord, and he teaches them the real meaning of communion. It is a time of us realizing we're one family in Christ. We have the same Lord. We're a part of each other. We're a family. And together we remember what it means.
Amen.
Now that's why we eat the bread at the same time, we drink the cup at the same time, because we are all one in Christ. We've had the same life-transforming experience, humbled and embarrassed because of our sinfulness, but completely forgiven.
Amen.
Because we repented and trusted in Christ. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you do this." I skipped something. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep." And that's a metaphor for dying. "But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions." This is a communion meal. In the last part, it says not to eat or drink in an unworthy manner. There are two ways to come to communion in an unworthy manner. One is just to look at it as bread and juice. Sure, I'll take some bread and some juice. This sacred ceremony, this ritual, if you want to call it that, symbolizes what a holy God did for a sinful race, what a holy God did for you. He took your sin upon himself. He died, he rose again, so that you could live forever. As you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're to remember that and to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Jesus. To come and eat and drink and to say, "This is just bread and just juice, and I want some of that," is to insult a holy God. And he will deal with you for being so, treating these holy symbols, which are to bless you, as just mere things to be consumed. So as you eat and drink today, remember what it stands for and be thankful to God. The other way to come in an unworthy manner is to come with unconfessed sin, unrepented sin in your heart and your life. You say, "Thank you, Lord, for dying for my sins, especially the ones I'm hanging on to, and I'm not going to leave." The Lord will deal with you for coming to him as a Christian with sins that he's talking to you and dealing you with about, and you're saying, I'm just going to keep trusting you forgiveness as I keep doing what I'm doing. The Lord will deal with you, because that is to treat his grace, as others have said, like a doormat, just to wipe your feet on and then to go about your business. If you're here and you have unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life, I say to you, don't pass on communion. Amen?
Amen.
Repent.
Amen.
Say, "Lord, forgive me, and I will, with your help, not do that again."
Amen.
And then thank him for his forgiveness.
Amen.
And celebrate communion with the rest of us.
Amen. George, you could do the communion, but me and Ed will pass it out. Oh. But George is right. There's taking communion really is to help us, because number one, we examine ourselves and we get rid of what is not right, right then. And then we remember what God has done. So he's right. There should never be a time you sit down and don't take communion. That means I'm not taking communion because I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. That's what it means. George didn't put it that way, but that's really what it means. I'm not taking communion today because I'm satisfied with doing what I'm doing, so I'm not going to take from communion. So if you're satisfied with what you're doing, don't take communion. But if you're not satisfied, repent and take communion.
Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together. And Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this bread. It symbolizes that your Son took on human form, suffered in his body, bore our sins, so that you could remove the curse of sin from us and keep your wrath from falling on us as we deserve. We thank you for the body of Christ. And Father, we thank you for this cup that reminds us of every drop of blood that was shed of Christ's for the forgiveness of our sins. We do thank you, Lord, that every sin we've confessed to you up until this day has been washed away, and that you see us as perfect in your sight because we are in Christ. Thank you for this cup. In Jesus' name, amen. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. We praise you. Thank you that we're one body. We all have this in common, that we are saved by your grace through your blood. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you all would bring two chairs, and me and Jill are going to sit in those chairs, and then you all will pray over us, because here's it. I want to be covered in prayer, and I want to be covered in the anointing. So, if Jill comes, and we'll sit right here.